Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
Good morning. Welcome to the Healing Light Show on Blog Talk Radio. First of all, I owe major apologies to not only the listeners, but also to Apostle Todd Williams. I apologize, Apostle. I got caught up in a live TV show this morning, and sometimes at my age, I kind of forget things. But boy, I'm blessed to have you as a guest. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I am well. Again, I apologize. Apostle Williams has been on the show before, and let me just share this with you folks. This past week or so, I got an opportunity to listen to this man preach about awakening being the apostolic. And listening to him and I got so excited. I said, this man has got it on the point. I mean, you didn't miss a lick in that program. And I got excited.
Amen. I'm glad you got excited.
Well, I did. I immediately contacted you and said, we need to talk about this on Blog Talk Radio. So without further ado, go ahead, sir. Talk about it. I got excited about it. Would you do that?
Amen. Ken, you know, this is something that's both near and dear to me. At the same time, it's something that I have tried to run from, and escape from and put away from myself because just the simple nature of the apostolic. You know, this is something that God began to speak to me about, 20 years ago. And I was not one that was willing to go this way easily. I did not. I knew what the scripture said concerning the apostolic, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that it comes with much hardship. You know, being treated as the offscurry of the world, as Paul put it. But nonetheless, as God continued to deal with me over many years and sending prophets to me, I embraced this probably about 2003, 2005, and have continued walking in the apostolic and really excited to see what God is about to do with this. You know, I feel that we've gone through a time where the apostolic has broke the ice or emerged, but I believe that we are on the verge of a second generation of apostles that are going to come forth in the earth. And it's going to change the landscape of Christianity and the culture of our world.
I agree with you 100%. I'm seeing in my own personal ministry and the ministries I'm attached to, and I've got a few, and I am seeing apostolic leadership coming. You know, there's an old saying that, you know, the cream will always rise to the top. And I'm seeing that happen more and more and more. I recently was affirmed as an apostle myself, and I am amazed at what God is doing these days. I have friends across apostles and prophets across the country, and what excites me is they're all on the same page. They don't know each other, but listening to them, I have one phone call, then I have another, and it's, you know, it's like deja vu. They're all saying the same thing. It is amazing to me.
Absolutely. Amen.
Apostle, keep talking for just a moment, and I have to take care of a situation. I'll be right back. Would you talk for me, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, as Ken was just saying, you know, we're all saying the same thing, and I believe that's because we're all of the same spirit, which is the Spirit of the Lord. And that spirit, who is the self-same spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit is an apostolic spirit. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And he is, you know, we're reading that from Greek. It means that he is an apostolic spirit. He's the spirit that's sent. You know, that's the true nature of the apostolic, and the apostolic spirit is that of being sent. You know, one of the things that I began to readily see is how that Jesus started and began his church under the ministry of the apostle. Even Jesus himself being the apostle, according to Hebrews 3:1, is the apostle and high priest of our faith. You know, there's a lot of questions as I've studied the Bible over 25 plus years of how you can see with the first century apostles, all of them being Jewish by culture, and even the likes of the Apostle Paul, who wrote a vast majority of the New Testament, he proclaimed himself as a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, a teacher of the law. You know, if there was a Jew, he said, I was definitely one. How is it that these men so readily embraced the apostolic, which was something that did not even appear in the Old Testament? You know, and once you begin to dive into this and understand not only the terms of this, but also the title of it, and how that Jesus, you know, Jesus had more than 12 disciples, of course. He had, you know, we know that he, in Scripture, he sent out 70, but 12 of these disciples or followers, he named them as apostles. And when we begin to understand this, you know, he didn't call them 12 prophets or 12 evangelists or 12 pastors, 12 teachers. They were the 12 apostles. You know, when we begin to look into this and realize that the terminology, words are very important, because words are what define thoughts. You know, he termed them something that came from, you know, a word that predates Christianity. It comes from Greek culture and civilization, which would have predated even the Roman Empire, which they were currently under. And I believe that's the foundation for beginning to understand, you know, how Jesus termed and titled those who were followers of him that he was going to put in charge over what he was doing in the earth. So that's where the foundation for the understanding of this begins, is what is the apostle, or from the Greek, the apostolos. And that's where we work from, that foundation outward.
You know, in this day and age, a lot of people do not believe that there are modern day apostles. I mean, a lot of people. I was brought up in a denomination that taught that all the gifts disappeared when the last apostle died. I am so thankful to God that is not true, because that would mean all the promises. That would mean all the promises died when the apostles died. You know, the promise of salvation would not have been there. The promise of healing would not be there. It amazes me that people get stuck. I guess I call it stinking thinking in religion. And what would you say to people who don't believe that apostles are here today?
Yeah, well, I would go right back to the Greek Empire with the Greek civilization and their culture. And, you know, the same could have been said in Jesus' day, that there were no more Greek apostles. You know, he was bringing back a term of a civilization that had already been overthrown. And people would have said, no, there are no more apostles. you know, here he comes calling his disciples by a term that has been out of existence for several hundreds of years now, as the Romans have become the predominant empire in the world. You know, for those that may be listening and do not understand what I'm speaking on, I'll just explain this for just a moment. There's been four major world empires, which was the Babylonians, and then we had the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. And the Greek civilization was vastly different than that of Roman. You know, and when we're reading New Testament scriptures, we see not only a Jewish culture that is under Roman occupation, but also the first century church had to deal with the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was vastly different than its predecessor, the Greeks, in that they did not dismantle cultures, whereas the Greeks did. When the Greeks came in and conquered a land, they would then commission someone from, the king, whether it was Alexander the Great, they would commission a man who was called an apostolos. And actually they commissioned many of them, and they would send this man forth. He was typically a member of their navy. Most of the time he was a naval admiral, and they would send him forth with a fleet of ships into that conquered land to begin to convert that land to the culture of the Greeks and their lifestyle, their thinking, their language. And it typically started with language. You know, if your land had been conquered by the Greeks and you didn't speak Greek, you were going to speak Greek. And that's what a Greek apostle did. You know, I think, Ken, when people begin to understand how Jesus, you know, how radical this was, that Jesus began calling his disciples apostles, he was reviving something that had been had disappeared from the face of the earth for many hundreds of years. You know, we can see this same thing. I think a lot of the misunderstanding of the modern church with them saying that there are no more apostles, because I've heard them say there's no more apostles, no more prophets. You know, and my question's always been, well, why are there evangelists, pastors, and teachers then? Why did you take two away from the five that's mentioned in Ephesians 4? You know, a further understanding of this is looking at Ephesians 2 and 20. You know, he tells us that the foundation of the church is the apostles and Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. I believe when we begin to really understand what this is, that it's not just a title that someone carries or an office that someone, holds. Because I think this is a gift. According to Ephesians 4, he says these are gifts that are given to us. The Christians of that day that took on the term apostle, I believe that the cultures understood this, whereas we don't today. We don't understand the terminology. And that's why I believe we don't understand the terms of this. We don't understand the title because we don't understand the terms.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's my admonition to anyone who's been taught that, you know, this doesn't exist, then they don't understand the history behind the terms.
Amen. You know, but this day and age, okay, there are so many people out there, and some of them just title themselves, if you know what I mean. They go, okay, I'm an apostle, and they're self-called apostles, I guess. How can people tell the real from the fake?
Yeah, and this is an issue for discussion, you know, because the scriptures do talk about those that are false apostles. I think first we have to define in understanding what this is. You know, I just had this discussion with someone the other day concerning this, and I talked about the Apostle Peter, and we see in Scripture in the book of Galatians that, I believe this is in Galatians 2, that the Apostle Paul had to rebuke Peter because Peter was wrong in his apostleship. It did not make him a false apostle, it just made him wrong. So I think one thing to begin to understand is, you know, there's going to have to be understanding amongst the body of Christ that as this emerges, that people are, they've got to come to an understanding first of what the apostle is, how an apostle operates, and what his purpose and function are. You know, I asked my household of faith this many years ago. I said, you know, we don't understand what an apostle does. Therefore, it would be hard for us to identify whether he is true or false, the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. I said, you know, what does an evangelist do? He goes and spreads the good news. You know, what does a pastor do? He shepherds people. You know, what does a teacher do? He educates. You know, what does a prophet do? Well, he brings you the word of the Lord. I said, so what does an apostle do? And most of the time, people can't answer this question other than they'll say, oh, well, he's a church planter.
Yeah, I hear that. But
you know,
there's much.
Yeah, an apostle is not, by the historical terms, he's not a missionary and he's not a church planter. He is an ambassador that has been empowered by the kingdom to bring the culture of heaven into the earth. And that's what, you know, begins to be the point of examination, I believe, Ken, is the lifestyle which is modeled in Christ. You know, the very culture of Christ has to become the key point of apostleship. You know, he's I believe I explained it some this past Sunday to my household of faith that an apostle is a cultural architect. You know, he is sent out with a mission to transform a society into a certain way of thinking, a certain way of speaking. And for New Testament Christianity, that would be modeled after the kingdom of heaven. You know, he may lead a congregation, but then again, he may not. But he will be involved within a team of people. You know, even Jesus, and this is one point that becomes very important concerning the apostolic, anyone that's questioning this. One of the things that I find about the true nature of the apostolic is it never works alone. Even Jesus, he sent out the apostles two by two. There is a need within the apostolic for unity. You know, even when he says in Ephesians 2 and 20 that the foundation of the house is the apostles and the prophets, you know, there again, there has to be a congruency of working together. And that's what, you know, a true apostle, even from historic teams, never went out alone. He had an entire team of people that went with him, and these were not religious people, but they were most of the time business people, you know, of different trades and crafts, because their main interest was to be in the culture every day. And I believe that's modeled to us as well through Christ. You know, Jesus was not a Pharisee, a religious leader. He was a carpenter. And each one of the men that he chose as apostles were not religious leaders. They were fishermen, tax collectors, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
So, you know, one of the big things that I would say is a key warning sign about someone that may be a false apostle is someone who becomes like the super apostle. You know, I'm not saying there's not apostles to apostles, but, you know, the guy that, you know, he's the one man show. This is not the nature of the apostolic. I know many times an apostle may have to take on things because of isolation issues, but you can see even in the Apostle Paul, he mentions throughout the scripture all the people that are working with him, traveling with him. Paul wasn't a one-man show.
No, he wasn't. And, you know, somebody once said this to me, and I think there's a lot of truth in it, is that you can tell a true apostle by signs, miracles, and wonders. Because true apostles walk in the gifts, and they are followed by signs, miracles, and wonders. What do you say?
I believe that this is a definite mark associated with apostleship, you know, New Testament Christianity. I was just thinking of Acts 2:43, where he talks about that the apostles were able to do many signs and wonders. But there again, those scriptures in Acts 2 are indicating that everybody with them was in one mind and one accord. You know, it's no different than Jesus when he went into certain regions and cities. He couldn't do many signs or wonders there, and it wasn't a problem with Jesus, it was a problem with the people. So, you know, trying to filter, you know, the apostles simply through signs and wonders is not always a problem that's based within that person or that man. You know, some regions just can't, some cities just can't receive. But I do believe that it should be a definite accompaniment to the apostolic, because the apostolic is totally dependent upon the Spirit of God. And whenever the Spirit is involved, we know that the supernatural is going to be involved as well.
You know, I think another sign of the true apostolic is they have a servant's heart. They don't ever want to lift themselves up. They just want to lift up Jesus. They want to lift up others. They're more concerned about others than themselves. And yet, at the same time, I see so-called apostles, all they want to do is lift up themselves. You know, I have a friend of mine, and I'm not going to mention no names because he's local, and he calls himself an apostle. I went to visit his church one day. He has these golden thrones up on the platform. And I just had to shake my head. I went, what in the world, brother? You know?
Wow.
I know how I feel. And I thank God for all the gifts he's given me. And I thank God for the path he's put my life on. But I also know that my job is to lift up others. My job is to encourage. My job is to help people find the truth to be able to walk in that path. And when I see people who basically they're hurting the kingdom by trying to lift themselves up. Am I making any sense at all, Apostle?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, you know, I believe there are those that are among the body of Christ that, like the Apostle John talks about in 3 John, he talks about a man who desired preeminence, whose name was Diotrephes. And you know, Diotrephes spoke evil of the Apostle John. I mean, you're talking about the man they called the Apostle of Love.
Right.
You know, this man, the Apostle John, had a relationship with Jesus that was like, you know, no other. He revealed to us much of the personal identity of Jesus, you know, in a one-on-one situation. There are those that looked upon the likes of the Apostle John because he may not have been the most outspoken or, you know, the most domineering of the apostles, and yet because they desire position, you know, there's going to be those that they think that the title and the position is a place for recognition.
Yep.
You know, sometimes people are trying to feed a personal need that they have, you know, by trying to seem important to other people. You know, apostleship is all about the kingdom. It's never about self-promotion. It's always about promoting the kingdom, promoting the lifestyle and the thinking of the kingdom, because ultimately the kingdom belongs to the king.
Amen.
All allegiance and loyalty, you know, loyalties to the king and the kingdom are the highest marks in the kingdom. And I believe that's why all of the apostles virtually laid down their life, because of their loyalty to the kingdom. So, you know, that's not what I see as scripture modeled, is, you know, somebody looking for a golden throne. Even though, you know, the apostles, they wanted to sit on Jesus' right hand or on the left.
Right.
You know, I can understand why, because they wanted to be seated next to the king. They were not really concerned with how men were going to identify them. You know, and I think that people can have a misunderstanding of what this is. And that's why I say we have to go back to the historical roots of what this terminology is before we set out with any religious predeterminations.
I agree with you. I really do. But I'm not saying but to negate what you said. That's usually what that happens there. But when I was listening to you the other day, actually watching your video, you gave a good historic description of what an apostle does. And you also talked about him being to come in to take over a region, a territory. Then he comes in to proclaim the kingdom. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yes, sir. And I think that's the first thing that we have to start from there, is an apostle is on a cultural conquest. And, you know, he doesn't come to conquer a civilization. He comes to conquer a culture. You know, one of the marks of the Apostle Paul that we can see of why he was so successful is a man that was steeped in Jewish culture, but yet a Roman citizen, when he went out and preached the message of the kingdom and preached Christ, he did that in Gentile lands, completely devoid of Jewish culture. You know, he was able to enter into a Gentile land with the kingdom's culture and converted them to the kingdom and not just, you know, Christianized Jews. Most of what we need to understand about this is that, you know, when we develop the culture of the kingdom as our lifestyle, it gives us the ability to be fluid. You know, Jesus did not come to just save the Jews, but all mankind. So the gospel had to, first of all, be able to transcend cultural barriers. It has to be fluid, no matter what civilization it enters. So this is why, you know, this is not just civilization conquering, this is culture conquering. You know, that is apostolic doctrine. It is cultural conquest. You know, the apostle comes to conquer, and I can't say that enough, Ken. That's what he comes to do. He comes to conquer the culture. And just his appearing is a sign from the kingdom that the culture is counter to that of the kingdom. You know, if the culture resembles the kingdom, then the apostles' commission is over. I mean, that's what he came to do. He'll be, you know, commissioned on or sent somewhere else, because we know that apostle literally means to be sent out. You know, this becomes a dangerous thing when people begin to understand what this is, because the followers of Jesus were considered dangerous. You know, whether, you know, it was Thomas that went into India, you know, or wherever the apostles went, when the culture began to understand what these men were doing, they realized that this was going to threaten the existence of a culture or any other religion that existed there, because this was not, Christianity was not based in ethnicity. It was not based in race or nationality. It wasn't even based in religion, because it wasn't, Christianity wasn't Hebrew. It wasn't Judaism. It is based in the being of Christ. And, you know, for some people, whether it's their craft or their trade or just simply that they don't want to change, it becomes advantageous to them to maintain the culture. And when they realize that this Christianity, this apostolic type Christianity, is going to threaten the existence of their culture, then that's when you begin to see persecutions arise, because they know that this is now not just a religious belief, but now this is an invading army that is here to dismantle the present culture from within. That's where this shifts, Ken.
Amen. 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 I want to shift gears just a little bit. I know from a lot of people that I've talked to across the country and the world that I'm seeing a shift already happening with how God is doing things through his apostles and prophets today. many are saying the same thing I believe, and that is that there is a revival, a faceless, nameless revival coming upon this world that is going to show the world the true power of the living Son of God, and that it is going to be, I kind of joke around about it, I say it's going to make Zuzu Street look like Sesame Street. It is, it's going to be an amazing thing. What do you think about that?
I've been having this discussion with other apostles recently, and once again, terms being important, I believe that we're going to see something greater than a revival, Ken. Revivals begin and revivals end. What we see happening along with many prophets is that of a reformation.
Come on.
When we think in the terms of reformation, we can think of Martin Luther, in the 1500s, and how what he spurned is still going on today, and it's still spiraling forward as the Protestant Reformation. Reformation takes on something greater to me in terms than revival. Because revival is just to bring back something that's been lost or something that's dead. A reformation begins to speak in the terms of a transformation. Something's going to be completely changed. And that's what I've been calling this. I've been calling this an apostolic transformation or an apostolic reformation. What we've seen, and the reason I say transformation is because what we've seen and what we've known is all about to change. It's like the metamorphosis that you can see a caterpillar. He crawls around on his belly in the dust, and I believe that's where we've been for a long time. But then he goes into this cocoon-type state that no one really understands, and he emerges something completely different. He now emerges with wings, and everything changes, his diet, his appearance, and I believe that's where we are. We are entering into a different season in the earth where when this emerges, Christianity is not even going to look the same.
Come on.
This is it's going to begin to fly and not just crawl around the way it has, just trying to get people to come to church. And one of the things I see with that, Ken, is the millennials and the next generation, they're very disenchanted with church. They don't see a whole lot of point or purpose in it. We think that the young people are just, disinterested with going to church. I don't believe that's it at all. I believe that in the coming generations, there's a dissatisfaction that's been placed within them to not accept what we've carried out for many generations. And like I said, there are people in the church world that will not want or welcome this change as well, because it's not going to be advantageous to them.
Amen.
So I think a lot of them, the biggest persecution to the apostolic will come from the religious world. Rather than the world, it will be the church world that has the hardest time accepting this. That's what I see happening. I see a whole new church arising in the earth that's not going to be bound by religion or customs or traditions or church culture. It's going to be set on bringing the kingdom to the world. and not, you know, denomination or doctrines of men, a lifestyle, the lifestyle of Christianity.
I'm sorry, but we're running out of time. And I'm just totally engaged in what you're saying because you're so point on as far as I'm concerned. I believe that not just the next generations, but I believe there's a lot of people even up in my generation that all we want to see is the real deal. We don't want to see all this craziness that's out there in the churches today, you know? People selling prophecies online, that one breaks me up. I'm like, what, don't you fear God? What is wrong with you? But I don't want to be judgmental either. Well, brother, I want to thank you so very much for joining us today. Again, I apologize. I got called up to the live TV show and went over, and I apologize for that.
Before
we close, we've only got 2 minutes, so I got to make this quick because I do it on every show. If you're listening today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. All you have to do, we're all sinners. All you have to do is say, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. But I believe that you died on that cross. You rose again 3 days later to save me from hell, to save my soul. So ask him. Just ask him to come into your heart today. And I promise you, if you ask him, you will know, just as Apostle Todd and I know, that Jesus Christ is real. Ask him into your heart today. All right, Apostle. We've got 90 seconds. You got anything to close?
Ken, just that the kingdom is coming.
Yes.
And it's coming to a city near you.
Yes, sir.
God is sending forth apostles and prophets in this day. And he's determined that the kingdom is going to come to earth.
Yes, and his kingdom is coming. And it is an exciting time to be alive, absolutely exciting. Well, Apostle Todd Williams, thank you so very much. Once again, I so much appreciate you. I get excited when I hear you preach because I want to hear more preachers preaching like you do. That's for sure. But anyhow, we're out of time. God bless you, my friend. I do appreciate it. And we're going to close out right now. So those of you who are listening, be blessed and be a blessing. Thank you for being here today.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.